heart surrenders to your design. You gave me purpose, so I give my life. I'm giving you all of me. Out of the darkness and into your light.
Yeah. everyone. Good to see you this morning. I'm Pastor Chris, and we are in an exciting place in the Big God story. So the Israelites finally are being ruled by a king. Yay, right? Okay, well, we'll see about that. But the time of judges is over, and just like all the other nations around them, Israel has a king. So today's story, we're going to find out who this king is and then what happens next, okay? But before we go on, let's pray together. God, we thank you for being with us this morning, and we are excited to learn from you today. So just help us to listen, and thank you for what you're going to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to start us off, before we get to the king part, God picked people in the Old Testament, and he still picks people today, to listen and obey his instructions. They were prophets, and this last one, drum roll, okay, he was a prophet, and he led the Israelites since he was a little boy. He's the latest in the line of judges and in the anointer of kings. He's honest and fair. Anybody know? Okay, Samuel. That's who we're starting off with today. Samuel. And so the last time we'd heard about Samuel, the Israelites had chosen their first king, Saul. And Samuel helped them do that. And so why was Saul chosen to be king? We can find out about it in 1 Samuel. Kind of go figure, right? 1 Samuel 10, 23 and 24. And it says this. So it's like 1 Samuel, it's like the first quarter of your Bible. So maybe you can look it up. And we're going to spend some time in 1 Samuel. So you might want to go there. All right. But anyways, we're talking about King Saul. So they found Saul and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Then Samuel said to all people, "This is the man the Lord has chosen to be your king. No one in all Israel is like them." And the people shouted, "Long live the king!" All right. So Saul has reigned now for 42 years. It's kind of a long time. And he's kind of an impressive looking guy. But God sees what we can't, because God looks at our heart. God looks at our motives and our intentions, what's on the inside, not just how we look on the outside. And actually, Saul, we find out, is a very jealous man who lives for the praise of the people, not necessarily to follow God. So Saul disobeys God and doesn't follow instructions. So Saul rejects him as, or so, excuse me, so God rejects Saul as king. So now we're getting ready. So if you have one king, you've got to find another. So we're going to turn over a few pages to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and that's where we're going to be today. Again, first quarter of your Bible. And here we go. We're going to start with 1 Samuel 16, 1, and it says this. "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I've selected one of his sons to be my king.'" So God sent the prophet to Bethlehem. Interestingly enough, that's where Ruth and Boaz lived. We heard about them last week. And also, Ruth is Jesse's grandmother. And someone else we know one day will be born in Bethlehem, related to that same family line. Any ideas out there? That's right, Jesus. So God's got this really big plan going on here. Do you think Samuel was nervous about God's plan? Check this out. Verse 2. "But Samuel asked, 'How can I go do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me.' So take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say that you've come to make sacrifices to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which one of the sons to anoint for me." So Samuel's a little scared, because there still technically is a king, even though he's lost God's favor. But he's got to remember that God is sovereign and in control, knows all things and rules over all things. And he's going to be the one to choose the next king by looking not at the outside of the person, but the inside and how they believe and how they feel and how they act. So Samuel goes one by one to each of the sons of Jesse. The first is Eliab, the oldest son of Jesse. And what do you think the first impression was? Well, check it out. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 6, says when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But was he? He's the oldest and tallest. But nope, that's not who God had chosen. The next is another fun name, Abinadab, Jesse's second son. Is that the king? Nope. I have to say it again because it's such a fun word to say. Abinadab was not the new king. Number three, son, Shammah. Do you think that was the king? Nope. What's God looking for? Check it out, verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People look on the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He knows us in a way that no one else can. God's perspective, his thoughts, his understanding are so much bigger than our own. And so it went on and on. Son number 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way till there were no sons left standing in front of Samuel. Now, if I were Samuel, I might wonder, what's going on, right? God, why? There's no sons left. What is happening? What do you want me to do? Well, check it out. Verse 11, it says this. Samuel said, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching sheep and goats. Well, send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. That would make me hurry. So Jesse sent for him. David was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes, and the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, all his big brothers, Samuel took a flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Wow. So God chose David, even though David was the youngest and just a shepherd, not even important enough in the eyes of his dad to be invited to this lineup. So why do you think God chose him? Well, when God looks at us, he sees who we really are. He also sees who we can become. The Bible tells us that God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. God often chooses the unlikely choice so that the world knows it's God, not just the person doing it. So God wanted Israel's next king to be someone who loved him, someone who wanted to know him more and more, and someone who had such a genuine faith that he would trust God and follow his instructions. So God looks at our hearts because that's what's most important. So in the book of Acts, it says when God looked at David, he saw a man after his own heart. You know, sometimes you and I might compare ourselves to each other's when we don't feel like we measure up. But, you know, maybe we're not smart enough or talented enough or tall enough or anything like that. But God tells us that what impresses him isn't what impresses others. God looks at our heart. He isn't looking for perfect people on the outside. If you read more about the life of David, you'll see that he was far from perfect, as a matter of fact. But God is looking for people that seek after him, that hearts are after God. And so when you care about what God cares about, that's what's important. When what saddens God makes you sad, that's what's important. And as this song is being played, maybe think about what God might want you to do to be more like him or to have a heart after him. So what does that look like for you? How does your heart reflect his? So spend some time maybe asking God that you want your heart to look more like his, that you want to be more like him. So just use this time and spend it thinking and talking to God about how you can be more like him.
It was just 3 words, but it changed my life. Just a childlike truth that consumed my mind.
So in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, it says, "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me to the way everlasting." That's a great verse, friends. And so that's going to be part of our blessing today. So hold out your hands. May you know that God cares for you. He sees you and knows you. May you have a heart like his. Have a great week.